Well, tonight we're going to get into Acts chapter 24. Paul's made a mistake, a pretty serious mistake, and God really worked with him not to make that mistake, but he did. And yet, we'll see, God continues to work with Paul. He didn't give up on Paul at all. It's later on, in fact, that he wrote many of the church epistles that we have in our Bibles today. But to pick it up, let's go back a little bit here in chapter 23, and they're going to move him to Caesarea here. So verse 33 in chapter 23, it says, "Who, when they came to Caesarea and delivered the epistle to the governor," now this isn't a Bible epistle, this was a letter, the leadership passing on information about Paul and what's going on. "So presented Paul also before him. And when the governor had read the letter, he asked of what province he was. And when he understood that he was of Cilicia, he was of Cilicia. And I will hear thee," said he, "when thine accusers are also come." And he commanded him to be kept in Herod's judgment hall. And then we start chapter 24. "And after 5 days, Ananias, the high priest, descended with the elders." So, you know, they had to wait. And it took 5 days for these guys to travel down to Caesarea from Jerusalem. I'm guessing that's maybe 30 miles. I mean, Jerusalem's up in the mountains, kind of. And they got to go down to the coast of Caesarea. So it's roughly 30 miles, something like that. So they come down there. And they have this certain orator named Tertullius, who informed the governor against Paul. And when he was called forth, Tertullius began to accuse him, saying, "Seeing that by thee we enjoy great quietness, and that very worthy deeds are done unto this nation by thy providence." He's really sucking up to him, isn't he? Yeah, that's pretty smart there. Verse 3, "We accept it always and in all places, most noble Felix, with all thankfulness. Notwithstanding that I be not further tedious unto thee, I pray thee that thou wouldest hear us of thy clemency a few words. For we have found this man a pestilent fellow, and a mover of sedition among all the Jews throughout the world, and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes, who also have gone about to profane the temple, whom we took and would have judged according to our law. But the chief captain, Lysias, came upon us, and with great violence took him away out of our hands." Right. "Commanding his accusers to come unto thee, by examining of whom thyself mayest take knowledge of all these things, whereof we accuse him. And the Jews also ascended, saying that these things were so." You know, the other Jews that came down, they, yep, that's true. "Then Paul, after that the governor had beckoned unto him to speak, answered, 'For much as I know that thou hast been of many years a judge unto this nation, I do the more cheerfully answer for myself, because that thou mayest understand that there are yet but 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem for to worship, and they neither found me in the temple disputing with any man, neither raising up the people, neither in the synagogues nor in the city, neither can they prove the things whereof they now accuse me. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy. Now, what's the way? The way Jesus Christ, yeah. After that way, that's one of the names which they call heresy. So worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. And have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and unjust. And herein do I exercise myself, to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. Now, after many years, I came to bring alms to my nation and offerings, whereupon certain Jews from Asia found me purified in the temple, neither with multitude nor with tumult, who ought to have been here before thee, and object if they had aught against me, they have something against me. Or else let these same here say if they have found any evil doing in me while I stood before the council. Except it be for this one voice that I cried standing among them, touching the resurrection of the dead, I am called in question by you this day. And when Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way, he deferred to them and said, when Lysias, the chief captain, shall come down, I will know the uttermost of your matter. And he commanded a centurion to keep Paul, and to let him have liberty, and that he should forbid none of his acquaintances to minister or come unto him. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife, Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might loose him, the old payoff, bribe, yeah. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. But after 2 years, Porcus Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. And it goes on here in chapter 25, which we'll look at next week. But I think about poor Paul and his situation, and he endeavored to do his best. Obviously, he wasn't to go up to Jerusalem, but he did. But he could still be still born again of God's Spirit, right? Does he still have Holy Spirit? Absolutely, yes. He still has Holy Spirit. Is he still a child of God? Yeah. God will continue to work with him. And we'll see this, where Paul does some really neat things and continues on doing some good things for our Heavenly Father. But I was thinking along these lines of walking by the Spirit, That's the challenge of the born-again Christian, isn't it? To walk by the Spirit. And what do we do? What is it that, and I want you to think about this, and maybe a few of you might want to respond to this. How do you get this Spirit functioning in your life? Now, let me read some scriptures to you along this line. In 2 Timothy, and then maybe you might have some thought or comment, which I would welcome. But in 2 Timothy, chapter 1, Paul is writing to Timothy. It's what many people call a leadership epistle. Timothy was to take on some great responsibility here. And Paul is reminding Timothy about his background. Verse 5, chapter 1, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Now I believe, as best I understand the scriptures here, that this refers to his ministry, his gift ministry, Timothy's ministry, rather than so much the gift of Holy Spirit. But he obviously has the gift of Holy Spirit. So here he was encouraged to stir up that gift. What do you do to stir up the gift of God in your life?
May I comment?
Yes.
In my life, which, like Paul, I'm not Paul, but I've had a sweet walk and a funny walk with God for like 42 years. Never give up. Always go back to the Word. But number one, pray fervently in the Spirit and with your understanding. But that spiritual prayer can put me, and I believe I'm not alone, into a gear that will put me in where I'm supposed to be in Christ. And then it's Christ in me. Right. And yeah, I have this mind and I go, you know, flop this way and that way. But if we never give up and continue to go to God, just like Paul, he will always turn the lemons that we may have squeezed into lemonade.
Yeah.
So that's all I'm going to say about that.
I would agree with you to stir up that gift of Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues. Really, I know for me, when we're doing our Agape Now outreach, I'm speaking in tongues quietly quite a bit, just getting spiritually in tune and ready for what's going to happen. And so this is great encouragement here to stir up. We want to stir up that gift of Holy Spirit that we have in us. Anybody else? Jeannie?
I think another important thing is to think about what you're thinking about.
Yeah, big time.
That if we don't renew our minds to what the Word says and speak what the Word says, we're just going to be as any natural man and allow the deception of the adversary. But we have to keep our head in the book. We have to really understand that it's a love letter from God to us to help us overcome this world and to know how to walk by the Spirit. Galatians talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Well, that's part of our nature. That is our nature. But part of that is patience. All these different things that we want to put in our thoughts and think about those instead of the things that we make mistakes with.
So. I make one more short comment on that, is that the enemy has come to steal, kill, and destroy us. Right. The number one thing he wants to steal is the Word.
Right.
The Word
from
us, because the truth. So good, good.
Point. Yeah. I mean, it's interesting to note the next verse in light of, stirring up the gift of God which is in you by the putting on of my hands, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, That word fear literally is cowardice. Being cowards. But of power and of love and a sound mind. Pretty good, huh? Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God. I mean, we have mental pressure. Things happen. So we take them on, according to what? The power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus when?
Before
the world began. Isn't that quite a calling there, right? And quite a purpose. We have a purpose. We need to remember that we have a spiritual purpose on this earth. And it's a godly one, too. A wonderful godly one.
What I found interesting in that chapter, taking a different avenue here, in what was happening to Paul then, it happens today, especially with the election coming up. And that is people will lie to discredit you. People will lie to discredit you.
Yeah.
But instead of prioritizing the criticism, we need to stay focused on spreading the gospel over the world.
Yeah.
See, it's easy to get caught up in that back and forth stuff. But that's what the adversary wants to do, is take your focus off the word.
Yeah.
That we've already heard. And so, again, when you're going through it, they're lying to discredit Paul. That happens today. It's still going on in the world.
Yeah.
So instead of getting caught up in prioritizing that criticism, spend time in channeling your efforts spiritually and mentally, getting that word out to people, you know, praying for them, you know, ministering to them, whatever the need is. So when I get up in the morning, one of the first things in my prayer is, I ask the Father to be with me throughout my day, not just when things are not that good, but I want him in every part of the fabric of my day. And I always remind, I ask him, give me your wisdom, not mine, I want your wisdom. And time again, things just work out so much better.
Amen.
But again, they were trying to discredit him with lies and stuff, and nothing's changed.
No, yeah.
But we've changed.
We stir that gift up, get it going.
Remember what the Reverend, Dr. Gibbs said about that first, about the stirring up?
What did he say?
He said we had these big family picnics, and we had these 55 wooden casks or drums, and we're going to make lemonade, so you get all these pounds and pounds of lemon, and then you pour in the sugar and the water. It was, if you never stir it up, it's just lemon water. But once you stir it up, you have the best tasting lemonade you ever had.
Yeah.
So stir it up.
I think about like yogurt. If you have yogurt,
yeah.
What's at the bottom?
The fruit.
The fruit.
You gotta stir it up.
To get to it.
Yeah.
Pretty natural food, folks. Yeah. Amen, huh? All right. Well, Father, thank you that we can walk by the Spirit. We can listen to you. We can stir that Spirit up day in and day out, knowing that you work mightily within us. So we're thankful that you've called us before the foundation of the world, that we have a purpose that you've set for us before the foundation of the world, and that we can live it out, Father, live it out with the Spirit that you've given us, as we stir it up and hold forth the words of life. So thank you, Father, for this. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Jesus.
Amen. All right.